At Purim, we read through Megillat Esther, the scroll of Esther, in order to rediscover and remember the story of a great deliverance. Haman had been appointed by King Ahasuerus to be prime minister over the Persian Empire. Haman had not only threatened to destroy all the Jewish people, but he had also scheduled a date to slay all the Jewish people living in his realm. Unbeknownst to the king or to the prime minister, the king's wife, Esther, was Jewish, and God would use her to rescue the Jewish people from Haman's evil plans. Queen Esther was able to intercede with King Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 7, verses 3 and 4 read, "Then Esther the queen answered and said, 'If I found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we'd have been sold for bondsmen and bondswomen, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage.'" And because Esther was able to intercede, the Jewish people were spared. The Persian ruler authorized new laws to protect us. Esther chapter 8, verse 8 records the king's reply to his wife. "Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." The real story of Esther, however, does not begin in the book of Esther. Haman was a descendant of Amalek. To better understand who Haman was, we need to understand his ancestor. So, who was Amalek? After we left Egypt, we were attacked by Amalek and his warriors. The battle is summarized in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." Amalek was both evil and cowardly. He attacked the weakest of the children of Israel. God, however, provided a miraculous victory for us. The battle against Amalek is recorded in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Yahweh said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nissi, where he said, 'Because Yahweh hath sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" What an incredible miracle. God delivered us from the wicked enemy, Haman. Afterwards, the Almighty commanded us to remember this war. What's even more amazing is that the Almighty swore that he himself would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. If the Almighty said that he will fight against Amalek in every generation, that must mean there will be an Amalek or an enemy like Amalek in every generation. Who is Amalek? Someone who hates the children of Israel and goes to great lengths to destroy all of us. Who is Amalek? Someone who does not fear God. Who is Amalek? A coward who attacks the faint, the weary, and the feeblest of God's people. For centuries, Jewish people have celebrated Purim, the victory over Haman, Amalek's descendant. We've also commemorated other victories which God wrought for us. Some of these victories share many similarities with the stories we find in Megillat Esther. We refer to those episodes in our history as Little Purims. We have previously considered the exciting story of the Purim of Saragossa. Today, we'll consider another special Little Purim, a delivery that we tasted in Poland. Why were we in Poland? The Jewish people have a long history of relocating from country to country after we were thrown out of Israel because of the Roman destruction of the nation. Multiple times we had been allowed to settle in the land. We were even granted some limited civil rights. A few times we were openly welcomed, but eventually we were blamed for some national problem or a natural disaster resulting in our expulsion from that nation. Poland had allowed Jewish people to settle in the land since at least the 13th century. There's an oft-repeated folktale that when we first came to Poland, we heard a voice telling us, Polin, which in Hebrew means rest here. So we stayed, we rested in the country for centuries. In modern Hebrew, we still refer to the nation of Poland as Polin, rest here. One of Poland's greatest monarchs was King Casimir III, usually referred to as Casimir the Great. He was called the King of the Peasants. He defended the poor people's rights against ruthless nobility and clergy. He introduced judicial reform, earning him the title of the Polish Justinian. He ruled Poland from 1333 to 1370. Casimir built a city in his own honor, and that city eventually became a resting place for many of the nation's Jews. Why did Poland become so accommodating for Jewish people while other nations cast us off? Well, the king had several wives, but none of them gave him a son, an heir to the throne. Casimir met and later married a Jewish woman named Esterke. She was reportedly the most beautiful Jewish girl in the land. This has an interesting parallel to the plot in the Book of Esther. In the Book of Esther, King Ahasuerus called his wife, Queen Vashti, to come to his royal banquet. Esther chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "But the Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within him." King Casimir later ordered his men to gather together all the beautiful maidens throughout his empire, and out of those, he chose Esther to be the new queen. I call her Esther. Esterke is the Yiddish way to say Esther. The king's love for Queen Esterke was so great that he passed a law giving equal rights to Jewish people throughout his kingdom. In the year 1267, Casimir's grandfather had granted us permission to live in Poland with guaranteed protection of our lives and property, our synagogues and our cemeteries. 70 years later, Casimir confirmed these rights and strengthened them. He encouraged immigration of Jews from Germany. Because of Casimir's rulings, it is estimated that 3/4 of European Jews can trace their ancestry to Poland. Just as in the Book of Esther, we find a beautiful Jewish woman who marries a Gentile king, and she influences the king to show favor to the Jews. As the story unfolds, it becomes even more obvious why the Polish story contains not just a Polish Esther, but also a Polish King Ahasuerus. Who is King Casimir? He inherited a weak kingdom, but doubled it in size geographically and added dozens of towns and dozens of castles. There's a saying in Poland that he had inherited wooden towns and left them fortified with stone and brick. Casimir organized a meeting of kings in Krakow in the year 1364, at which he exhibited the wealth of the Polish kingdom. This sounds much like the opening of the story of King Ahasuerus in the Book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 read, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which is in Shushan, the palace, in the 3rd year of his reign, he made a feast unto all the princes and the servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days. According to Wikipedia, Casimir was the only king in Polish history to both receive and retain the title the Great. Casimir's full title was Casimir, by the grace of God, King of Poland and Ruthenia, Lord and Heir of the land of Krakow, Sandomierz, Siedlec, Wieszczecia, Kujawia, Pomerania. Again, this sounds like the opening of the Scroll of Esther describing the Persian emperor as ruling over multiple lands. Casimir decreed that it was illegal, under penalty of death, to kidnap and baptize Jewish children. In 1374, a Polish child was found murdered in a forest. The Jewish people were accused of the crime. The king conducted a public inquiry with his magistrate and a priest. The Jewish people were found innocent. 1 year later, we were accused of bringing the Black Plague to the nation. Again, the king defended us. These acts of righteousness are credited to the influence of Queen Esterke. Casimir the Great's tomb is located in the massive castle complex in Wawel. The 75,000 square foot fortress houses a statue of the king, and the face of King Casimir bears a striking resemblance to drawings of Medo-Persian kings. Is the story of Queen Esther based on actual facts, is it actual events? The evidence is pretty convincing that this amazing story is not simply a legend, but it is historical. First of all, it is unequivocal that King Casimir accepted the Jewish people and granted us rights as full citizens. The story of Queen Esterke is also well documented. According to YIVO, Encyclopedia of Jews in Eastern Europe, the earliest surviving written evidence in Jewish sources of Poland's Queen Esther is found in a 1595 document, a document written just almost 500 years ago. There's a much earlier record, earlier by half a century, written by a Polish cleric and chronicler named Jan Długosz. The Catholic account was recorded less than 100 years after the event occurred. So we see that the story was recorded as a factual event by both Jewish sources as well as Polish sources. In fact, according to Oxford Academic, the story of Queen Esther was first used by some Poles to condemn the privileges that Casimir had granted to the Jews. Dr. Pearl Herzog wrote an article entitled "The Polish Queen Esther." The article appeared in Mishpucha, an Orthodox Jewish periodical. Dr. Herzog wrote, quote, "About 200 years after Queen Esther lived, Rabbi David Gantz, a student of both the Rema and the Maharel, two European Jewish leaders from the 1500s, authored a book entitled Tzemek David, which is the first Jewish documentary evidence of Queen Esterke's existence. He writes that there was a Jewish queen, Esther, whose husband, Casimir, granted the Jews of Poland special liberties as a result of her influence," end quote. The article by Dr. Herzog continues, quote, "King Casimir was also likened to King Ahasuerus. An anti-Semitic priest, Przelo Mojeki, was obviously familiar with the Purim story, writing in his book Jewish Cruelties, published in the year 1589. We know from chronicles that our Polish Ahasuerus, Casimir the Great, took Esther in place of his own wife, the despised Edleda, and begot with her two sons and daughters as well. Persuaded by Esther, he permitted to bring them up as Jews. The priest goes on to describe Esther as being conniving and having manipulated King Casimir to promulgate what Mojeki considers a hateful law," end quote. There are sites in various towns named in honor of the queen. There are several tombs which claim to be Queen Esterke's actual burial site. Obviously, unless she was interred and later moved, they can't all be genuine, but the fact that they claim to be her burial site is some evidence for the veracity of the queen's existence. There's one grave in a cemetery in Lubin that contains only one name on the tombstone, Esther. No last name, no identification. There are castles that are considered by local residents to be castles that were built by Casimir for his beloved wife, Esther. According to the Krakow Post, one house near Krakow is specifically referred to as the House of Esther. There's one tremendously massive tree in the town of Opoto, the town where she is believed to have been born. The residents of that town say that the queen would visit with the king under the tree. The tree is extremely old, and its massive branches are each reportedly to be the size of a normal tree. The branches require artificial support. Also, there's only one street in the whole district of Krakow named after female, and that female's name is Esterke. All of these bits of information appear to be pieces of puzzle pointing to the historicity of Queen Esther. In every generation, the Almighty rises up to defend us. In Poland, we saw not only the story of Purim repeated, we saw another Queen Esther. Have a happy Purim and celebrate our salvation.